MomCast is brought to you by the Hutta family of orthodontists. Slowly getting back to normal.
Mommy!
It's the MomCast.
Really, Mom?
Mommy!
Mom!
You are listening.
MomCast!
To MomCast.
Hi there, and welcome to MomCast. We're glad you're here, and we hope that the vaccines have made their way to you. Whether you choose to take them or not, of course, is up to you. But we're hoping to get out of this pandemic soon. We're glad that you're with us. We've got a lot going on in this MomCast. It's pretty big. We're going to talk to Mrs. North America Universal. Why would we talk about pageants? Well, we know a lot of you, you know, there are parents that do the pageants with the kids. We could do a whole show on that, I'm sure,
sure.
Heather. But we're going to talk about this because it's a different kind of pageant. It's actually based on the things that you do in your community, which I think is really cool. And that's going to be a great conversation. Also, I'm going to share a little story that happened in my neighborhood, and maybe we can get your thoughts on that. And we're also going to talk about Miss Dolly Parton. She's got something really cool going on, and everybody loves Dolly, right?
Yes.
Well, maybe not. You won't want to miss any of our discussion on this week's MomCast. We talk to moms in all different walks of life, moms that do different things. And this caught my attention. Kristen Ayers, you reached out to me, and I just really found this fascinating because I will tell you, years and years and years ago, I was in a pageant. And
oh, really?
I was in, I believe it was Miss Ohio USA.
Oh.
And I thought at the time, this was a long time ago. In fact, this will let you know how long ago it was. The reigning Miss Ohio USA was Halle Berry.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And Halle,
competition.
Yeah, Halle Berry helped me do my hair and makeup backstage. That's about as far as I can brag. Because after that, it all went south. And it really, it was very difficult. Looking back on that, for me, it was not exactly the experience of my life, other than getting to meet Halle Berry, which was cool. And to be able to tell everybody how stunningly beautiful she is in person. And very, very just a sweet gal. But beyond that, for me, it was difficult. Walking out, wearing a bathing suit, wearing an evening gown, all that stuff. So your story really caught my attention. So first of all, Kristen Ayers, thank you for joining us on MomCast.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I'm excited.
So tell everybody your new title.
My new title is Mrs. North America Universal 2021.
Woo!
Yay! I was Mrs. Ohio, and I went to the Mrs. USA pageant back in February, and then they give two titles out. So you were either Mrs. USA or you're Mrs. North America. And so now we go to the Mrs. International or Mrs. Universal International pageant coming this fall. Yeah.
Wow.
It's exciting. Yeah.
So yeah, this is still ongoing for you. But And so I had seen a press release and some information. Tell me a little bit about that, because let's go back just a little bit. Tell me about what you do, because you're a mom, first of all, but you're a mom. But looking here, Verona and Monroe, by the way, those are awesome names.
Yes, we didn't want anyone to shorten them, you know, and we wanted people to remember them. But it's probably going to backfire. No one's going to ever remember Verona and call her Corona. But hey, hindsight's 2020. So what can you do?
No.
You never know.
But you, graduate from the Ohio State University, the law degree.
Yeah,
you also have your real estate license.
Yep. And a business degree. And an arts degree.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's what happened. I'm from a small town in West Virginia. My parents are blue collar. And so they said, college, college, college. As long as you go to college, you're fine. Well, you fast forward 15, 20 years, and that's not the case. And in fact, my generation, I'm pushing 40. So my generation was the generation that got on the bandwagon of college. And because of that, the prices just skyrocketed. So you literally went to college to spend the next 10, 15 years figuring out what to do with the knowledge because they didn't tell you what to do. And then you're just this, you're literally paying back for that education that you didn't know how to use for the next 10 to 15 years. So that's an entirely different podcast that we can do on
yeah.
that. So I think what happened is it pushed me to, because I had no safety net. So after college, it kind of pushed me to figure out, okay, well, what are you going to do? And I had already had a job working for a law firm at a very young age. And so going to law school just made sense. But halfway through law school, I realized that that's not really what I want to do. And I had the confidence at that point and the foresight to say, well, then I'm not going to dedicate an entire life livelihood to something I'm not passionate about and I don't want to do. Because I just think it's going to add to other problems. I'm going to get, become a drunk or... be about the money. And I'm not really, when you're only about the money, you're not really helping anyone else. That's what I think, because you make decisions based on the money, not on the benefit of your customer. So I really thought at that point, okay, yes, I fell in love, but we took a very long time to get married and even longer time to have babies. And so within that, 10, 15 year period, I just worked on myself and I worked on the entrepreneurial mindset that I had, started some small businesses. And so when I giggle when you say, what do you do? Well, it depends, because on any given day, I'm doing something completely different and I kind of like it. But it's overwhelming at times, right? And because you're constantly multitasking with small business. So I have a continuing legal education business. Yes, I do real estate on the side and we have short-term and long-term rentals. I have a wedding cake business that I'm transitioning local here in Columbus, and I'm transitioning into teaching the business to other people. It's called Baking at the Beach. And that's going to be really interesting because I get to take one of my loves of decorating and just throw all of the information at someone so that they're ready to start their own business in a month, which I wish I had 15 years ago, because I would have saved a lot of money and heartache and years of struggle if I would have had it. So also this pageant came about because out of all of that, I was really looking for an opportunity to lead and to help other people. And when the pandemic first started, I was doing it on a friends and family, like personal basis. And I thought, oh my God, I can do so much more than this. And then when I found out that small businesses, I knew they were going to crumble because you need that foot traffic and we're a consumerism culture. So if no one's consuming and everyone's staying at home, well, who makes the money? Well, people that can reach you. And that's the Amazons. That's the place you're comfortable venturing out, which is a one-stop shop, which would be a Walmart or something like that. And yeah, their stock is going to skyrocket, but everybody else is kind of going to diminish. And when you're canceling proms, there's a whole industry of people that are small businesses that are crumbling from pageant dresses to photography to hair and makeup to it's so silly, but like nails, those silly things, but that employs thousands and thousands of women specifically. So then we get into, 3 million American women who kind of got out of the labor force this year, mm-hmm. either because they lost their job and they had to find another one because no one was doing it, or they realized they always take on the emotional burden and the management of the family. So they're at home doing the Zoom calls. They're trying to keep things together while everybody else loses their mind. And somehow we're not supposed to be losing our mind, but mom's the first one that silently are going crazy, right?
Right.
So I felt like if I could get a leadership role, because I'm a very quirky, unique person, that maybe everyone else could see, okay, well, let's start somewhere. Let's find a small thing that we can change. And my platform, I'm not saving puppies. Yes, let's save the puppies, but that just wasn't my lane. I wanted to help as many small businesses and women entrepreneurs as I could get through COVID. And then also I have a vision board movement project, which means if you've got something you really feel like you need to change in your life, nobody is going to come save you. You're not a victim of your circumstance. You need to get out of that, change your mindset, start small, and start working on you. And so that's what I'm up to. Stacey, what'd you do this morning?
Yeah, really. I got up and I came to work. Yeah, no, that's
half of it.
A lot going on. You talked about where you are, how you got to where you are now. Let's talk about
the pageant.
Yeah, about the pageant, because
yes.
That's where you got, you're using your platform. So talk about that and why this pageant, why this whole thing?
Yes. Exactly. So this is why I started the pageant. I'm not a pageant girl, quote unquote. the Mrs. Division, we're older. We've got other things going on. We're more about the sisterhood. Some systems are. And what I wanted, because I had that leadership role and because I had an idea of what I wanted to do, I thought, okay, well, what pageant system is going to get me that leadership role? And I picked Mrs. Universal for a couple reasons. One, it was progressive. They weren't asking me my dimensions, right?
Right.
Swimsuit is optional, which I think is, it rocks it, because you only have to worry a little bit about, to me, the outward details of you. You know, you can hide a lot of stuff in a dress if you really want to. So I thought, okay, well, I'm focusing on my leadership role more so than, you know, being the skinniest or the whatever I could be. I definitely thought, okay, well, this pageant, I'm going to do fitness, which is still showing that you're in shape and you're healthy, but not necessarily, you know, pulling off the thigh skin to see how, right? I mean, I didn't want a model search type pageant. Mm-hmm. And they, because they're progressive, they let in all shapes, all sizes, all ages. Mrs. USA just turned, I think, 48. So they're looking for the substance of the person. And I was like, that's my wheelhouse.
So tell us a little bit. I mean, you are involved in the community. You talked about some of the businesses you have and some of the programs you start and all that. This is also about community involvement?
Oh, yeah. So I started working with eSeedling, and they are all about child entrepreneurship. And even my four-year-old, we did this little sprinkle line of sprinkles, you know, because I make cake, so it made sense, just to get her involved in, like, doing something that had nothing to do with watching TV or a video game, or, you know, she couldn't really play with friends much. So I was like, this is a great opportunity for doing an activity, quote unquote, but so much more than that. And then that branched into working with Her Hub and Women of Toledo, which is a very specific women's entrepreneur. And it's not just entrepreneurship. It's women of all diversity needing all kinds of different help, even domestic violence help. And they are tremendously good with creating a community of women and keeping people accountable and just making them feel supported. And so I worked with them, and then now I have become an ambassador of SCORE, the Columbus chapter, but, you know, they're nationally known and recognized in almost every major city across the nation. And they are the nonprofit hub of small business administration. And what I love about them, all these organizations, it's free. The mentorship that you can get from SCORE is for the life of your business. It's completely free, and they're matching clients all day, every day, with experts that start anywhere you are in your business. From, okay, I have an idea, to, oh, I've been in business for 10 years, now COVID hits, I need direction, I'm losing customers. And so just for me to be able to get the word out, build awareness, let everybody know what workshops are happening, that's huge. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on this year. All local.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I know right now, because every woman, every mom, every parent is in a different place at different times.
Yeah.
So, you obviously have a lot on your plate. You want a lot on your plate, but you're also a mom. And I could hear the moms out there right now going, I don't have time to do all of that. How does she find time to do all of this?
What's wrong with her? Like, is she on some kind of, I only drink one cup of coffee a day, by the way. And no, I'm not on any drugs. So this is all natural. Here's the thing. I love that you said that, Stacey, about a place, because, you know, you see pictures sometimes, everyone gravitates towards the person that looks like they have it all together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have shown a picture of me 3 years ago at 250 pounds and miserable and not taking care of myself, and did I wash my hair this week? Probably not. And I was focused on other things. I was focused on businesses, totally lost track of myself because my kids were just born. I had them back to back. And it was one of the lowest points of my life. Nobody sees that picture. And to be honest, do you want to show pictures of yourself? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in a good place, women tend to just go internally. And I want to show women that you are absolutely correct. It is a moment in your life that only you can change. And the first thing is to understand that it's temporary and that you need to change. And once you say that, you say, okay, well, how? why do I need to change? Because I'm miserable. Or I don't have enough. I have kids, but that's all I have right now. And I feel unfulfilled. And it's fine if you're like in super mommy mode and you're having an awesome time and you're living life. And you want to add something else to your plate, that's good too. But sometimes adding something to your life that seems like it's going to stress you out and seems like it's too much is the exact thing you need that gets you to a better version of yourself. Does that make sense? Because most people say, I don't have time to go to the gym. I bet you do. You just need to, one, change your 24-hour schedule, and two, find a support group around you that dedicates part of their life to your change. You see what I'm saying? Because you can't all of a sudden start working out and start doing whatever and missing maybe lunchtime with the kids or missing something that you're used to having in your life. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it in that particular way. Like it's very specific for everyone, but the mindset is stuck where women tend to think we have to be with the children 24 hours a day and be the sole decision maker of everything that occurs with that child. And so to me, mommy time is a myth, because we normally don't just need a glass of wine once a week or like a massage once a month. It's so much more fulfillment than that. Right. And we need to find a support system. If you have a husband, there will be pushback. Even mine, he's the most supportive guy in the world. But when COVID hit and he was allowed to work from home, I was like, boom, you are watching the kids now and mommy's going to go do her thing. And this is how the schedule is going to change. And yes, it's going to be difficult for everyone, but we need to get over the hump of the change. Implement a new daily routine, and then that's how you get to the end result. Fill in the blank. I lost weight, or I got healthier, or I had more time to think, which ultimately led me to know, okay, I need a career change, or, you know, I don't need to be working. What am I doing? I want to stay home and enjoy this moment. But I think the guilt and the shame and the, oh no, what happens if I don't handle every single thing that happens with this child as a mom, it starts to come over us and take over us. And then we just lose track of who we are and what we really wanted out of life. And I don't think that's good for anyone. What do you think?
No, I think a lot of women struggle with that. And again, you know, that's kind of the beauty of MomCast. We have moms that's they want to be with their kids and they want to be all in. And that is as fulfilling to them as anything else. Yeah. I'm the woman. I had a baby later in life. And so I had my career and I stayed home for about 18 months and was not the best at that. And that's even hard to admit because I loved every second of it, but I was not completely fulfilled. I am one of those people like you. I have to have more. And as I, you know, threw myself into, you know, being everything for my child and doing everything, I enjoyed it. But I would look sometimes in the mirror and go, who am I even looking at? I just kind of wasn't me. And that's hard to admit. And my husband was the one that came to me and said, sweetheart, I love you. You're a spectacular mom, but this isn't all you need to be doing. You need to get out. I know you and you need to be doing what, you know, you need to do. And there's not shame in that. There's not shame in any of those scenarios. There's not shame in a woman that is completely fulfilled to be at home and that's her role. There's no shame in that. In fact, I applaud that just as much as I applaud a woman who needs other things, you know, outside of the home to, you know, to fulfill her. I just think we're all in different journeys and it's good to hear those journeys from people like you because there's someone else out there that feels the same way and that has the same, you know, needs the same drive to do other things in life as well. And it does, you know, the type of mom or type of parent you are does affect your children and they get to see different role models, right? I mean, they get to see women in different stages, and I think that's good.
Oh yeah, like my mommy gene is not that strong. I think my sweet spot is going to be whenever they have boy problems and they need to figure out confidence issues. I'm good. That's going to be my wheelhouse. I am a 100% situational anxiety driven parent at this point, because physically it's all on me. You know, their schedules, their whatever, their world is centered around the decisions I make for them at this point. And that gives me so much anxiety. That was that low point that I had, because I was just so overwhelmed by the magnitude of that responsibility. And even if I was old, I couldn't imagine doing it at 20. Maybe you just don't care at 20. But by 35, I was like, this is such an enormous opportunity, and I could really screw this kid up. I think my wheelhouse is going to be when they get a little older and I can emotionally and mentally help them with a lot of their issues. So when you say a journey, like at this point, you know, I think that women, this is heavy, but I think that women tend to gravitate together, and we get a lot of our confidence sometimes externally from what other women are saying. Yes, good job. Or wait, you know, you see the pictures with the kids all dressed up for a family photo, and another mom's like, I can barely like make the call to get the photo, let alone get the kids ready and actually follow through with it, right? But I think every woman kind of wants to fit in this box, and once you decide that you have something else that you want to fit in to your life, you know, you want to better yourself in some way, a lot of the times there's people around you that want to keep you in that box. You know, it's not a malicious thing. It's just, that's where they're comfortable you being. And so anytime you're going to do something like, say, you know, you're stepping out after 18 months of watching the kids, it's scary. And I think the more and more we are inclusive on allowing women, and when I mean inclusive, not women like us, you know, women in any decision they make on what their fulfilled life looks like, you know, the more they do that, the more more women will step forward and make that same decision.
Right. And, you know, I've embraced what I'm good and not good at. And I think we all have to do that, because if mom is not happy, or mom is unfulfilled, there's so many different adjectives, but I think it then is passed on to kids. Kids, maybe at certain ages, don't realize it, but at some point it will affect your relationship, how they're yeah. raised, how they view you. And so I don't know. We always try to say that there's no, we don't, you know, try to attack any parenting style here, because yeah. it's hard enough. And, you know, I think we're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to raise healthy, happy human beings. And there are so many other things that fall into that. And it just seems like, you know, every day there's something new to trip over. If you can go through it with acceptance for yourself and your shortcomings and your strengths and all of that, you can pass that acceptance onto your kids and not, you know, because I always think that if you're disappointed in you, it's easy to turn around and show disappointment in your children. And I think if you can accept yourself, it's so much easier for you to be accepting of your children. Now, this is great. And I know that there are a lot of moms that are, you know, in that place in their journey. So I appreciate you taking some time and sharing your thoughts. And I wish you the best of luck with your platform. Thank and you. With the continued. Now, what would we call this? Do we call it a competition, or?
I call it a celebration, because technically all the work I'm doing is way before the pageant happens. But the pageant itself is, yes, a competition. They're scoring 50% on interview, 25% on swimsuit fitness, and 25% on evening gown. And the international pageant is going to be, due to COVID, they're not exactly sure what country it's going to be in so far, but I think it's going to be the Caribbean, which is really exciting. But for people that want to get involved in pageantry, you know, you just need to reach out. Again, get a support group of people around you. I'm a queen, but you can text me. You can email me. You know what I mean? You can message me and ask me about it, and I'll give you an honest opinion. I'm not a recruiter. I'm just trying to give you my honest opinion on what it's given to me And the confidence and the leadership role and the mouthpiece, right? I mean, the megaphone to be able to get any message I want to get across. And I'm not perfect, right? I'm not perfect. Queens aren't perfect. They're just leaders. And so, yeah, that would be a great idea if they want to get involved to reach out. Anytime you want to reach out to me, you can do it through the website or through Facebook or through Instagram. That's my main ways. And Mrs. North America2021.com is the website. Mrs. North America 2021 at Gmail is the email. At Mrs. North America 2021 is how you can get me on Instagram and on Facebook. And so just keep reaching out because we're here to help. And I think women have this problem with perfection where they feel like, oh, I'm just going to act like I have it all together and take the beautiful pictures. But in reality, you know, no, that's not reality. And there are tons of people out there that aren't judging you that literally just want to help you. And so that if we can help one person get through one milestone that they wanted to reach, get to it, that would be awesome.
Well, Kristen Ayers, Mrs. North America Universe 2021, thank you for talking with us on MomCast.
Stacey, I'm so appreciative that you had me. Thank you.
So Heather, I need, and Greg, you too, because especially I need the dad's perspective. But Heather, you for sure. In our neighborhood, we live in a very quiet, there's like 40 houses. We're on an oval. I always call it the OSU oval, even though it isn't. But not a lot of kids in our neighborhood. It's more of a condo kind of place. And so anyway, we all know each other. So now that the weather's warm, Jeff and I were out walking. Liv, you know, she can't be bothered to hang out with mom and dad. So she's, you know, at home looking at one screen or another. I don't know. But so we're out walking, enjoying the weather, and we come back into our neighborhood, and there's a little girl. I mean, a little one, little tiny one, not a toddler, but probably just past toddler. I'm guessing 3 or 4. And I think I'm pretty close, judging on how she was speaking. She was, you know, had the little speech impediment and, you know, used her words kind of sparingly, didn't have all of her words quite right. But she was by herself and I didn't recognize her. So I'm like, well, hello. Hi, how are you? You know, and she's like really cute. She has a little dolly in one hand and a little like rubber ball in the other, like she's, you know, run away from home or something.
Yeah.
So I said, well, hey, what are you doing? You know, and she's, I out walkie. Okay, you know, one of those. So, I mean, that's how she's talking. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, and I'm striking up a conversation, but I'm like looking around while I'm talking to her. And, you know, here's what goes through your mind, or at least my mind. I'm like, okay, there's a little girl by herself. But then if I get too close to her, am I creeping her out? Yep. Or are her parents going to get nervous? Or are their parents around? Or will they think I'm the bad person? You know, like the stranger danger? All of this is going through my head because I'm like
going through my head as you tell me
right.
The story and I'm
so
horrified.
So I'm like, and I'm saying to Jeff, you know, do you see her parents anywhere? Do you see anybody? And do you recognize her? No. So he looks and she points. So I ask her, where do you live, honey? And she points, did my house deal? You know, I mean, literally that's how she's speaking. So it's pretty far, but it's like through just, it's not that far, but it is. I mean, it's like over the, we've like got the Hayden, we've got like a little waterway that goes through and a bridge over it. So, I mean, and the water is kind of, I'm thinking, okay.
It's not her front yard.
Right.
That's for sure.
So, but then I look and I see dad there and he's working on a car or something. So she's like there and I'm, oh, okay. Well, are you going to go back to dad? Well, then she tells me she wants to pick daffodils. We have daffodils in our neighborhood on the other side of the water. And so she wants to pick one to surprise her mom. And I'm like, okay, well, do you need help? No. I said, well, just don't go toward the road. Because if you go out of our neighborhood, it's a busy road. Let's put it that way. We're right at an intersection. It's a busy road. Okay. So I'm like, okay, bye. So I watch her and I'm like looking at her dad. I can barely make him out. I mean, he's not looking up. So she picks a daffodil and walks out of the neighborhood up. Now, there's a sidewalk there, but she walks up and she's really like far for me and I'm a hover parent. So I'm like, Jeff, I know it's bad because Jeff's like, what the heck? She's not going to go toward the road. That's like, what if somebody were to grab, and I know we're like maybe over analyzing, but her dad never looks up, and I'm not calling him into question. It's not that. Maybe they let her do that and she's done it before. So she starts going, well, I know the sidewalk ends before where her house is. So then I'm like, what? And I'm envisioning her like dropping that ball that she had in her hand and running out into the, oh, yeah. I'm envisioning everything. So we stayed back and just watched through the trees. And he kind of walked up a few feet, but we were both like, you can't go anywhere near because they might think, mm-hmm. you know, God,
predator.
Right. So we stayed back and then we made sure she's got this really long driveway too. And I'm like, she made it to the driveway and we like felt better. But the whole time I'm thinking, what would you do? I mean, I didn't know what to do. I hope we did. Because again, I'm not throwing shade on the dad. It, you know, we may have been overprotective, but it was pretty far. And it was a busy road, and she was really little.
And it's the situation is, if no matter what you did was wrong, in my opinion, even if you make someone mad, I'd rather make someone mad than have a child get run over by a car or worse. So I think I would have been very scared to talk to the dad, though, because in the times that we live in, mm-hmm. I don't know how you wouldn't come off as accusatory.
Right.
Because there are parents who are those free range.
Sure.
Where my daughter's perfectly capable of walking down the road by herself, whereas I won't let mine, you know, in the front yard without me sitting in a chair watching them. So I just don't know that I would have said something to the parent. But at the same time, what if that dad had turned around and saw strangers talking to the child?
Right.
Luckily, you don't look like the classic kidnapper. But
yes. Well, and if he'd have seen us talking to her, I would definitely walk over and just say hi. And I wouldn't even question anything. Okay. I would just, I mean, she was right there and she said hi.
It was the kid's fault.
Right.
Well, she was talking to me.
She was being friendly.
right.
was being friendly and very cute and precocious and conversational. And I think we did the right thing. I would never go say, hey, your kid's roaming around by herself, unless she like went into the neighborhood further and got kind of confused as to where to go. You know,
right.
She were to say she was lost. Another part of me, I used to work when there was like one of the bigger malls in the United States at the time when I was in college. I worked at the information booth and that's all I did all day.
Find parents.
Yes. And, you know, little kids coming up and helping them. A shopper would find a kid and bring them over to me. And I would have to calm the child down and get on, you know, and try to say, we have a lost child, you know, and maybe if they would tell me their first name. But most of them couldn't. They were just crying and hysterical. And then you'd hear the shriek, you know, from another part of the mall and thump, 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 you just see this mom come running. So, I mean, that kind of kicked in.
Yeah, you have experience,
sadly. I have experience there. So I would never, I never, because I always felt for the mom. We all know that. You turn your back and they can be gone. So
I have to chime in from the dad's perspective.
Yeah.
Did we figure out, did the dad, like, did he end up saying, we don't know really what happened.
We don't know.
Just last summer, I got my hand smacked by my wife. I let the kids, so this Davis would have been 7 and Mabel would have been 5, ride around the block on their bikes together by themselves. So we're just here in our neighborhood. I know, and I'm looking at Stacy's eyes glaring at me.
I'm the helicopter mom,
right.
So I know that's probably
so it was
perfectly
nice
fine.
Day. You know, I was out in the front yard working, and, you know, we know the path because we ride it together all the time. So this would have been the first time that I let them do it by themselves. And they were riding, and so I'll admit some of it was they were annoying the hell out of me. So I, you know, just like, fine, go ride around. I was like,
there
all right. I was like, do you want to, you know, and we have a little circle that we can see that they ride in all the time. And I was like, fine, do you guys want to, do you think I can trust you to go around? I was like, you have to stick together. You know, I gave them like I felt comfortable doing it because it takes maybe 5 minutes. They would have been together. There's sidewalks, right? Like anything that you might worry about, I felt okay. Well, until my wife came out and said, "Where are the kids?" I go, "They're riding around the block." And you would have thought that I gave them away. Like she
you
let me have
did.
It. She let me have it. And so I guess two things. One, I think that there is that different comfort level with every parent individually, but definitely the mom and the dad. And then also in a weird way, I think you might have been doing the dad a favor if you went over and said, hey, your daughter's over here, because if he didn't care, 100% his wife, who didn't know his daughter was out wandering around picking flowers with strangers, would have came out and ripped him a new one if she found out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, see, I don't know. But again, I would not throw shade because every parent is different. And, maybe she makes that walk and we just have never seen her do it.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe they're new there. I don't know that. I don't think they are. But, you know, or maybe she's just now old enough that they're letting her do that sort of thing. But that's kind of the problem these days. That's kind of where we are. You want to help, but then you also don't want to overstep your boundaries, right? I mean, I would never want to make someone feel bad, but then I also would feel horrible if she'd have stepped out and gotten hit. Or, you know, I mean, and Jeff was even taking it further. It would take 1 second for somebody to just stop the car and grab her. And I'm like, I know, but they feel comfortable and it's not our place. But I do feel better that we actually made sure, you know, without overstepping our boundaries, because he had no idea we were even doing it. He wasn't looking. We just made sure she was okay. And so we felt better, like in case something had happened, I think both of us would, you know, if we'd have just said, you know what, it's not our child, we can't be involved. And then something happened, I wouldn't be able to live
with yourself.
You know?
Let's take this a step further. What would you have done if she was pointing and didn't know where her house was? Or what if you couldn't see the dad and it looked like an empty driveway? When do you get the authorities involved? Because the last thing I want to do is call the police. Next thing you know, they're getting in trouble for something. What if you hadn't seen that situation?
Well, I have to say, I probably would have tried to, because I've done that before.
Right.
You know, you kind of learn the questions to ask. I would have done that a little bit first and then hoped a parent would emerge going, where are you? And then if not, I guess I would make a phone call. I'd have to, you know, look, who do I make a phone call to? I guess it would be the police. I guess for me, if my daughter had wandered off, I would be appreciative that somebody that was on the good side of things took the time to, you know, that was worried about her best interest. Whether they offended me or not, just because we all know kids can walk off further than you think they're going to. And that could definitely have been the case. Or he probably, from their vantage point, he could see them and didn't think about the water and all of that. I mean, because we thought about
that
later.
That's probably more
realistic.
She
avoided the water. He probably told her, don't cross the water, as a good dad. You know what I mean? Because it was rushing. She would have, you know, probably gone down stream a bit. So, you know, maybe he wasn't thinking she'd go up toward the road, you know, but in her little mind, she was doing what she was supposed to do instead of going back the other way she came. So there was, you know what I mean? I think that he probably didn't look up because he figured she was fine and everything turned out fine. But those are things you have to ask yourself these days, because you can be helpful or you can be mean-spirited, you know, in someone's mind. But I think ultimately, even there are ways to step back and make sure a child is okay without. But everybody's different. Someone might have grabbed her by the hand and marched her right back to her father and said,
yes,
hey.
Right. And again, can I even judge that person? Because that's their belief.
Right.
And they're ultimately trying to do the right thing with some judgment. I do have a solution for that family, is to plant some daffodils in their front yard.
Hey, guys, I wanted to share this resource with you. Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. It's a thing where you could sign up your kids and then they mail your child a book for every month and up until they turn 5 years old. So it's her charity thing that, you know, encourages children to read, gives kids access to books who might not be able to have those resources. But anyway, you know, we record a MomCast here in Ohio, and I just saw that us Ohioans are going to be able to sign up and become members of this Imagination Library, which I think is a cool thing, and I think it's kind of slowly spreading across the country. But the funny thing is Stace and I were talking about it, Heather, and we recall that you had a beef with Dolly Parton. And, you know, Dolly Parton to me is like Betty White. Like, how could you hate her? But, so...
Right, I can't imagine.
Aside from, you know, obviously this seems like a good charitable event, but what is your beef with Dolly Parton?
My beef was with the way it was covered in the media, because let me be clear, Dolly Parton can think and say whatever she wants, but what she said was not news. And that's where I got mad. And I'm, for one thing, Dolly Parton, I just want to tell you, because I know you didn't see my Facebook post, but I will say that virus, this pandemic, was not put on this earth to help people have better and more positive relationships, because a lot of people have died. Those relationships are over. So I found it very hard when Dolly Parton said that this, the purpose of this virus was to bring us together. In fact, I think it's divided this country more than ever. We've got people refusing to get vaccinated from a deadly virus. So when she said those things, and then it was the lead story, and I thought, that's not news.
Why is this pop singer the official?
Isn't that funny? Because I didn't even hear her say that. I did not hear that angle of the story. I really didn't.
And it was made to make Dolly Parton, you know, her images.
Because she gave the money, right? To,
Yes. Yeah. And I think, she, bottom line, she's a good person. But I disagree wholeheartedly with her religious beliefs. And I think that's probably the root of it. Someone who is more inclined to religion, probably it was like, oh, she's right. Happy butterflies. But I'm looking at death. And at that point, when she said this, it was still new. We had no vaccine in sight. And so what do? I hop on Facebook, because that's what we all do when we're mad. And I thought, I read this post that I wrote over and over. I'm like, is this gonna, who's going to see this? And then I thought, don't care, submit. And I did get some people, you know, well, she was just, I'm trying to make a thing, a light situation out of it. I'm like, there's nothing nice about this. But ultimately, and I am a part of the media, that's my career, but they needed to find some news that day. That's for something, that's like a fluffy piece, but I shouldn't be on CNN and seeing that as like a headline, you know,
crawler.
And it's a brand thing for Dolly Parton. It's her brand. She is an innocent, loving grandma, mother type, and I just didn't think that her message that day was appropriate for people who are losing loved ones.
Right.
But Dolly doesn't know I feel that way. And also, I never got to tell her to her face, and I probably will still go to Dollywood.
wait, what?
In the future. I do think it's completely overpriced, and but it's a beautiful amusement park and very clean. But I will say that I continue to be a little bit angry with Dolly Parton.
Well, if you see her, would you tell her?
Yes, because I'm that kind of person, Stacey. I would.
But what if she cried? What if you made Dolly Parton cry?
Then I would make the news.
Yes, she would.
I would trend.
CNN, I guess.
You'd be on the CNN tracker.
The one person that went after Dolly Parton.
I
get that. I get, you know, when certain people say things. I mean, I get when something like really hits you. You know what I mean? And that, I didn't know. I didn't even see that. I didn't see that angle to it.
Yeah, she has been curiously front and center during the pandemic, you know, and that's clearly on purpose, to your point of her PR people are making sure of this. But
I thought she was a calming presence, but apparently no.
And again, I respect her beliefs, but keep them to yourself. And I feel that way in my entire life. I'm not pushing my beliefs on you. But with something, it just felt the timing was bad. Mm-hmm. Now that she's done the vaccine and those types of things, she's redeemed herself in my eyes. I certainly know she means well. You know?
Has she redeemed herself? Because you just said, if you see her.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are past grievances, and I need to get them out, but for future. And I also, the fact that she likes books, that gives her a positive point. Mm-hmm. She's growing more positive in my eyes. With the books. I do love that because I think a lot of...
Imagination Library.
Did you watch the movie?
No. When that movie came out, I remember giving it this, like the preview, I gave it the stink eye. I did.
Did you?
Yeah. So maybe I'm not
over it. Little child Dolly Parton the stink eye. Yeah. Oh my.
Okay. It's not my kind of music either, which doesn't help.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully that helps on the road to the healing of the relationship for both of you.
We can never have her as a guest on this podcast ever.
No, I think actually now we have to have her as a guest. We have to have her as a, I would love just to maybe clear the air if you feel that way.
Well, I hope this information was helpful to you and your parenting and thinking about your kids, however old they are. And it maybe it sparked some ideas or thoughts. We'd love to hear them. You can actually share those with us on Facebook. And don't forget to tell other moms that you know, because this conversation continues, of course. And on behalf of Stacy and Greg and myself, we're so glad you joined us. Don't forget, you can take MomCast with you wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe, rate, and especially review MomCast. And you know what? We'll catch you next time.